morning.
Good morning.
I'm Ellen, a grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ellen.
I do not feel like being serious today, so this is not going to be a heavy meeting. But I need, so, well, let me just say this. I'll give you the, you know, the numbers, the statistics, but, you know, every morning I do prayer and meditation, and so I say the first three steps, I say the serenity prayer, and I always like kind of, you know, whatever prayers come to mind, that's what I say in the morning in my morning meditation. So the one that came up this morning was one from my childhood, which goes, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer." That doesn't always come up, but I think it's pretty appropriate because here I am. You know, I could just say a lot about that, but I won't. Just take what you like and leave the rest. This is just my story and my experience only. I always like when I'm going to share to look at the literature. I usually fold a page when I read something in one of the 24-hour day books that I really like. And so when I opened up the one from August 9th, this really stood up. And I have to remind myself that this is not ego. I didn't write this. This is in here. Okay. So it says, "Those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message. We are the message." And that's from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 106. "I don't just work the program. I live it. That means I try to incorporate all 12 steps into my daily life. After practicing for many years, the practice has become a habit. The more habitual it becomes, the easier it is to live the program. It becomes second nature. I don't have to think about it. That means I am a message of recovery for those who still suffer. I live this program for me, for my peace of mind, and for my sanity. That I am a message for others is a gift from God. I am an example that keep coming back works." And I guess I have to say that's true. So here's the numbers. I came into this program for the first time in 1969. In 1970, I got the program. A lot of you who have heard the story, I'm not even going to go into all of the details about it, but needless to say, I had stopped weighing at 200 pounds. So OA saved my life then, and a lot happened, you know. So this year, the reason I like to share in August is because it's not only my OA, the month of my OA birthday, but it's also my natal birthday. So I'm going to be 74 next week. If I tried to tell you the story, we could all stick around for the next, you know, couple of months, and maybe I could tell you all the things that have happened in my life since I've been in program, not just in my whole life. So a lot. I've been abstinent consistently since 1980, so that's 36 years. I had about 5 years of abstinence between 1970 and 1980. Just to say, I moved from Southern California to North. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about my childhood. I mean, I come from a family of compulsive eaters. Two people on both sides, my mother's side and my father's side, died of morbid obesity. So, you know, I have this history. So between 1970 and 1980, I moved from Southern California with my two sons, who were like 8 and 11 then, to Northern California. I was in a relationship that I couldn't talk about. OA is the only place where I've ever been able to be totally honest. That's the truth. I learned how to be honest here. A, I learned how to be abstinent, and that's where I got honest. And then B, I started to realize I couldn't be dishonest in any other areas of my life either. So because I couldn't talk about this relationship, I stopped coming to meetings. I had lost about 50 pounds maybe during that first 5 years in program. But I really could not be honest at meetings. I really couldn't talk about this relationship, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of it. Really? 5 minutes already? Oh, my God. So I stopped coming to meetings. I started going to Al-Anon at a certain point in 1979. And the person in Al-Anon said, you need to go back to OA. I walked into an OA meeting here in Terra Linda for my first time. I qualified as a newcomer. I never said anything about all the years I'd been in program before that. I got somebody who had 21 days of abstinence to be my sponsor. I started committing my food, and I've been abstinent ever since. So what I want to say is about what I think is the most important part of the 12 step, and that is practicing these principles in all our affairs. I think it's really important to spread the word about OA. I think we need to tell newcomers about OA. I think we need to tell people in need about OA. But I don't think we can really talk about OA and share the message unless we practice the principles of OA in all our affairs. I couldn't have stayed abstinent if I had not done that. There is no way. OA is the place I learned how to make changes in my life on the about the things that were causing me to eat compulsively. So because I was so numb from food, there was no way for me to know what things made me eat compulsively. I couldn't really identify my feelings at all. So little by little, by working the steps, and I'm a big book advocate. I really believe in the big book and its principles, and I think we all need to read the big book. Even though it, you know, we need to substitute the word compulsive eater for alcoholic, I have never had that problem. I identify completely. It means working the steps. And what happens to a lot of people is we get 1, 2, and 3, or we think we do. And then all of a sudden there's this inventory we have to do, and people go, oh my God, I have to write this inventory about my life. It seems really daunting. I've written lots of inventories. It's not just a one-time thing. The 12 steps are not just a one-time thing. We just keep working them. So, you know, I always have to, you know, I do. So I thought what I might do would just be to say how I practice these principles in all my affairs. You know, I have a regular routine. I have a food plan. I'm one of those people who, when I came into OA, there was a food plan. There were a couple of food plans, and I adopted one of them. My food plan today is somewhat similar to what it was when I first came into program. You know, I suggest to people who are new in the program and who are wondering about what to do about a plan of eating that you eliminate from your food plan. You know, they say make your list of things that are red flag foods that you know are automatic triggers, and eliminate those things and develop a plan of eating that you can live with. And I encourage people to try it for a month, not just a few days and then, oh, I'm going to change this and give this up. I suggest you try it for a month and see what's happening. See if you're losing weight. See if it's working. See what's going on. Even if you're not successful, keep at it for a month. I mean, I really think you need to find out what works and what doesn't. The difference between OA and every other food method out there is that OA is not going to tell you what to eat. It's a very personal program, and that's what makes it so challenging. It requires rigorous honesty, and not everybody is willing to do that. And I realize OA is not for everyone. But for those of us who stick with it, the benefits are humongous. And, you know, I can attest that I've been through many, many, many things in my life. Medical challenges, relationship challenges, numbers of them. But OA has been the one constant. The one constant. And when I came into this program, I was one of those people who had no spiritual beliefs at all. If anything, I would have said bravely, if I'd been brave, I would have said I was an atheist, but I wasn't brave, so I said I was an agnostic. So I needed to find, I needed to find some kind of spiritual faith that I could believe in that would work. And because OA encourages us in the 11th step to practice prayer and meditation, I had to do some research and investigation. I ended up studying a lot of philosophies and religions and going to different churches and meetings and became really, really involved in Buddhism and seriously still believe that philosophy a lot. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy for me. But all of what I had to do was find a higher power that worked for me, and it ended up being the higher power that they talk about in the big book. I'm so grateful because that really works for me. But it's a very individual thing. We each have to find our own path, and I just don't think that OA will work unless we have some kind of spiritual faith. That is another thing that sets us apart from other groups. OA requires that you have faith in some power greater than yourself, and whatever that is, it can be whatever works for you. Food plan is the same thing. It has to be personal. I had to find a way of eating that I could live with. I always wanted to live a life outside the program, not just walking around with my abstinence, holding on for, you know, dear life. So I've traveled a lot. I eat out a lot. I have a very, I have a social life. The way I eat today works, but it wasn't the way I had to eat when I first came into program in order to lose the weight I've lost. I've been maintaining around a little more than a 65-pound weight loss now. Life is interesting. It's the whole catastrophe. It's everything. And the one thing that the gift that I feel the program gives us is helping us to meet life on life's terms. You know, that means all of it. That means I get to deal with life and death and love and frustration and losses. And the pluses are I get to be alive and experience life. And that's not what everybody wants sometimes. I think we all would like life to be easier and softer, and we could just file it all away. And I always love the expression that some rock and roller used about his guitar. He used to say, if I could tune my guitar to just the right pitch and then have it welded, if life could be like that, we could find the perfect solution and then just magically lock it into place, wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not it. So I'm humbled to be able to be sitting here. Absolutely humbled. I take no credit for it. It is my higher power, always. That's who I'm in service to. And that's one of the biggest lessons I ever had to learn in this program. This is where I've learned all the lessons. One is I wanted to be authentically Ellen. So that didn't mean that I was going to be perfect. It didn't mean I was going to be what you wanted me to be or my parents wanted me to be or my ex-partners wanted me to be. Man, I wanted to be authentically myself. I think I felt like when I was growing up that I was walking around wearing a whole lot of different hats, and depending on where I was, that's the hat I wore, and that's who I would be. I wanted to wear one hat. And I guess the other thing is that I wanted to believe that there was no other power greater than God. And I'm going to use the word God because that's what works for me. I am not in service to anyone or anything except my higher power. But for me, because that requires a lot of honesty and a lot of footwork. It's not an easy job. It's a full-time job. You know, I need to be abstinent every day and show up and do what I know it takes in order for that to happen. Some days it's easy. Some days it's like, I don't even think about it. Is that it? Is that time? So some days, you know, I don't think about being a compulsive eater. I don't think about food. And there are other days when, boy, am I looking forward to my meals. And anybody who tells you that food isn't still satisfying is lying. Eating food, you know, having my meals is really pleasurable. I really enjoy my meals and they are still comforting. So, but I also know that I have to stay away from certain things that are going to cause me to go crazy. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for, without you, this program wouldn't be happening. And then where would I be? So I'd be sitting here alone. So please keep coming back. It works.